There are fewer than 30 men in the world qualified to drive Formula One. A mere half dozen, perhaps, to win. At this moment, I'm inclined to think you're not one of them.
No, you want to.
Keep up the good work, Stephen, and there you have it. There you go.
Hello, this is Desiree for F1Weekly.com. I'm your in-depth correspondent.
Let's go with the qualifying, Steve.
Welcome to F1Weekly.com. My name is Clark Rogers. I'm the host of the program. I'll be joined by Steve Fall, my co-host, Nasser Hamid, is on assignment. This is podcast number 567. April 5th, 2012. Stephen?
This F1 Weekly podcast is brought to you by Yahoo. Well, no, it's Google ads. Google. Google those ads. Click on them. You know you want to.
Thank you, Stephen. On today's program, Rubinho calls his friend Masito and tells him to relax. Red Bull still not quite clear on Mercedes' rear wing. Bahrain. Will it happen? Protests seem to be certain. And Motorsports Mondial with the Duke of Dijon himself. Moi. Steve, welcome to the studio. How are you?
Wonderful, Mr. Rogers. And yourself?
I'm good. Of course, a lot of talk about Bahrain. There's some protesting already going on. And I think a lot of these protesters are waiting, staying calm. And then they're going to have one of those mad Fridays or angry
Thursdays?
Something like that. Not sure. And there's still some talk. Some people think that the Bahrain Grand Prix may not happen.
I have a hard time believing it wouldn't. Things have been really quiet in Bahrain, at least as far as the international media goes, over the last, you know, pretty much since just before the last race.
That's because they're censored, Steve.
I know, exactly. So we don't know what is actually going on in country. You know, it would be an opportunity to get on some internet, maybe get on some international cameras to do something at the race. But I would expect more of it to be something a little more passive, like the unfurling of a banner in the grandstand or something of that nature that would just get them some camera time.
What if the same thing that happened in Cuba when Juan Manuel Fangio was kidnapped happens here, Stephen?
I have a hard time.
Can you imagine
that there is a sufficiently organized group within Bahrain at this time who could pull off something of that nature?
And the victim?
Bernie!
That would be so sad.
That would be next to impossible. Because
no, he would
five
have...
5-1, his feet only touch the ground between his aircraft and the hotel.
Correct.
And the aircraft and the track.
Correct. There's not too much wandering around. And not only that, but it's the most boring race of the year.
Yeah, typically.
I say we cancel, take it to San Marino at Imola, and have a good time.
Yeah, exactly. You know, hey, you know, Bahrain's rich. They can fly in the fans, you know, that would want to see the race there in Bahrain.
I totally agree. So if this race doesn't go on, no big deal.
No, not a big deal, considering we already have more than enough races on the calendar for the year.
Exactly. Speaking of races, France is closing in on a deal to hold an F1 race again. Mr. Filon, François Filon, is making an attempt again, and this time it could be Paul Ricard, which is a nice track, needs a little infrastructure because it's mostly for testing, and they do other World Series by Renault.
Smaller formulae.
Yeah, lower formulas there, but it's a wonderful track, a beautiful part of the France, in the southern France, close to Monaco. I think this would be really great. Filon said that a provisional deal has been agreed with Mr. Eccleston, but there's still a gap in the finances, and it's a... Wow.
Really?
Shocker.
I'm dealing with Bernie with a gap in the finances.
Yes.
Why not surprised?
And it happens to be 2 million euros, and nevertheless, at least it's being talked about. It looks like it might be alternating with Spa, because they're always losing money.
Yeah.
And France. I mean, Paul Ricard is an arch track. I like Spa a little bit better.
Spa is probably my most favorite track.
So, yeah, that
would
be...
Because it's the one place where they're going on a drive.
Yeah, but the biggest problem is making money.
Right.
And well,
it's not so much making money, it's making enough money to pay for Bernie.
Bernie, correct. And the last race, last Grand Prix in France was 2008 in beautiful cow manure central Manicourt. So I hope this happens, but if it does happen, it won't be until 2014. Speaking of France, Sebastian Vettel went and visited with not the mothership, but certainly the engine builders.
The mother motor.
Yeah, the mother motor. Of course, that would be Viry Châtillon, right outside of Paris. I have not been to Viry Châtillon. I went to the atelier for the at the Renault factory in Flins, which is north. No, it's south of Paris as well. He went and spoke to 11,000 employees, and he said, "I've been to Viry Châtillon before, but my F1 engine is so precious that I need to come back and, you know, pump them up a little bit, especially since Nahrin Karthikeyan hit me."
Yeah, well, gotta go back. It was 2 years ago that he was having all the motor troubles. But
well, he went to see a lot of concept cars. He went to the design department, and he was toured by Laurent Vandenacke, head of industrial design for Renault, and François Fronette, head of Renault sites in the Île-de-France. Looked at a lot of cool concept cars, and of course, mum's the word, he can't divulge any secrets for next year's models, but still, pretty cool stuff.
I wonder if we get to see a prototype of the new engine.
Maybe not. Oh, you mean the V6 turbo?
Mm-hmm.
Huh! Nobody sees that, Steven. Nobody sees that. Red Bull still not clear on Mercedes' rear wing. I think more or less they keep bringing it up so Charlie Whiting will finally say, you know what, okay, it's illegal. But I don't think Charlie Whiting is going to do that.
Christian Horner needs to walk over to the Ferrari garage, go, Stefano, tell Charlie you don't like it.
Exactly. Or bring your Polaroid camera.
Okay. Yeah, and so far we've seen that it's not really giving Mercedes much benefit.
No.
I wouldn't push it so much because it appears that the problem they're running into is that they're taking off that rear downforce. So the cars, you know, they're stalling their front wing, but they've got no rear downforce. So they're blowing out their back tires.
Yeah.
No gain.
Yeah. And apparently the Mercedes engine is already fast in a straight line. Their problem is tire management. That suspension system, that car is brutal on tires. And that's what they need to sort out at Mercedes. Red Bull, on the other hand, I would just copy it.
Yeah, if you think it's going to give you benefit, mock it up and see if it is.
At least a facsimile thereof.
Yeah, it wouldn't be that tough for them to put that together. And, you know, they could probably have that on the car for Bahrain if they really wanted it to.
Yeah, no, I agree. We'll see what happens there. With this 3-week lag from Malaysia to China, it's very possible that they could put something together pretty quickly.
Yeah, I'm thinking 2-3 weeks, they could probably put together the parts to do it.
Yeah.
It's not a dramatic. A lot of it would depend on how much how much re-engineering it would require for the pylons, for the rear wings, because that would be the most difficult portion of it, I would think. Running the air through the car shouldn't be that difficult.
Yeah, as long as it's not obstructing the DRS system. And it works well together.
Yeah.
But yeah, those obviously the pylons and having those little openings inside there. Anyway, Rubens Barrichello, he had his IndyCar race, second one, at Barber, where USF1 was supposed to test. Barber.
Motorsports Park.
Testing USF1. But it was pretty exciting. We'll talk about that in the Duke of Dijon's Motorsports Mondial. But he did do a segment on speed, an interview with Despain, and it was very interesting. They talked about all the things, and the few things he talked about were no tire warmers in IndyCar.
Right.
No power steering.
So he's actually having to work
extremely hard, which has got to be pretty bizarre no power steering at 19 years of power steering, because power steering has been in Formula One for a long time.
Yeah.
Brutal.
Yeah, well, he did look a little flabby last time.
Well, he's going to be pumped up. I mean, his upper body is going to definitely get a workout. Yeah. And I'm certainly going out on the first lap, first two or three laps on the cold tires. It's got to be
pretty tricky.
It's got to be brutal. So he's been spoiled, basically. And this is going back to the roots, Stephen.
Yeah.
But he's also concerned about his friend, Felipe.
Felipe, poor Felipe.
Yeah, Felipe is down and out. You know, he's depressed. There's sometimes a 24-hour watch on him. You never know.
Make sure you got somebody on him at the clubs after the race in China so he doesn't get into trouble like some other drivers that shall not be named.
Exactly. Well, Felipe Massa has been getting text messages from Rubinho. Rubinho says his problem is something that I've had myself. He has to close his eyes, enjoy himself, and remember. And I'm not sure what that means when he says he has to close his eyes and enjoy himself. You know, I don't want to get those mental images. Hey,
usually the smartest thing in the world to do when you're behind the wheel of a Formula One car and closing your eyes.
But anyway, and remember that he's doing this because he loves it. Ruben says, quote, "All of the times when I lost myself a little bit, I had forgotten that and reminded myself that I am doing this because I love it. So we have to relax, and then we can improve for just a moment. Just relax, Felipe, and you're going to be fine." And, of course, the biggest problem, Rubinho says that his teammate is Fernando Alonso.
Yeah.
Big one.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's a tough one. That's a tough one. But, you know, let's put it this way. He either gets out of this funk or he's out.
Yeah, he's
looking Indy cars.
Exactly.
Indy cars. Now let's go to Navarin Karthikeyan. You know, he's already put it behind him. Sebastian Vettel has said that he's not ashamed for his outbursts. He's an emotional guy. You know, he may be German, but he's still...
I thought he was a German.
Well, he doesn't listen to the marching music as much as he used to. Helmut Marko, he says that the team have sent their manager to Marussia and HRT. We have told our team manager to talk to both Marussia and HRT about getting their drivers to pay more attention. They drive in a different league. They are 6 to 8 seconds slower, so they need to watch out more. The 12 points which Vettel lost could be crucial in the World Championship. In other words, if Sebastian Vettel's coming, just pull over and let him by.
Which is what they should be doing anyway. For just about anybody but the other Marussia or the HRT cars.
I know, but you've got to admit that when they're up there and they have a Vettel on one side and a Fernando up ahead, they're thinking that they're mixing it up with the big boys.
Feel like they're in the race.
Yeah, they're getting close to graduation.
Yeah.
And I can understand the excitement. And that's probably... But in the end, Button was at fault when he hit Navarin Karthikeyan. And I thought that Vettel was at fault as well. Coming back in too quickly, Karthikeyan's front wing hit his wheel. I mean, let's be sensible here.
Yeah, on some level, in any accident, there's typically fault on both sides at some, at, you know.
Racing incident, Stephen?
Exactly.
I know. But anyway, so there you have it. I find it interesting. Everybody's excited, but nevertheless, maybe we'll see Vettel and Navarin Karthikeyan shake hands in China.
Or throw punches at the club after the race.
Yeah, exactly. Justin Button recently talking about his brush with Ferrari. Apparently there was talk that Jenson Button was going to replace Felipe Massa. This was at the end of 2011. And he did say that he's had fantasies of having Fernando Alonso as a teammate. I think that would have worked out pretty good.
I think it would too. I think Button's the type of driver who can pretty much work with any team. And work with any other driver. The team setup that they've managed to put together at McLaren with him there, pretty much no whining about, oh, the other guy kind of stuff. So, you know, I think there would have been the same kind of professionalism at Ferrari.
Yeah, no, he's a good professional now and steadfast, stays fit, did the triathlon in Hawaii on his way to China or what have you. But Jenson Button's a good guy. He's a good driver, and I can see why Ferrari wanted him. I mean, it makes perfect sense. And yeah. Right now, I think they would have been happy with Jenson Button compared to what Felipe Massa is doing.
With the way Felipe is driving at the moment, yeah, they'd be happy with about five or six different other drivers on the grid.
Okay, so we're going to China. We know that Felipe Massa has to perform, But there's another driver that really has to do something, and that's Romain Grosjean.
Romain needs to keep his car on the track.
Yeah, stay out of trouble. I mean, eventually, you can't keep blaming Pastor Maldonado or anybody else. You've got to qualify well, which he's been able to do, and stay out of trouble, because Kimi's doing good. He's finishing the races. Came in fifth in Malaysia. He's talking, you know, I'm going for the podium soon. That podium is coming soon because they have the pace.
Yeah, they definitely have a car that can get them up there. Would be better served by having both cars fighting towards the top because they could work off each other and use the other as kind of a foil against the competition. Again, he like you say, he can't blame others. So far, the fact he's been off the track is his own damn fault, whether Pastor was involved or not.
Yeah, not only that, but you have to take advantage of this brief moment where Red Bull is not doing well.
Yeah, exactly.
This is the opportunity is to take and try to get that third position because Mercedes is struggling, even though Schumacher has done well in qualifying, but race pace is pathetic. With Red Bull and Mercedes struggling, you see Williams starting to pick it up.
Right, and also you need to take Ferrari running it, you know, down near six. You got to jump on it because it's really right now. If they could stay in the race, they have a 2-3 car.
I agree. It's a good 2-3 car. We've just got to get Romain to finish the race, not just 5 or 6 laps. And I'm looking forward to China just to see that test and those empty seats. I don't know.
You know, I see a track that big in a country like China. Make the seats $5 and provide buses. That place should be packed.
It should be packed. I would just make them. If you arrive at noon on Sunday, free.
Actually, you should be able to arrive at a bus stop in Shanghai and be ferried out to the track for $1.
Yeah, and they should be giving out coupons with your bucket of chicken at KFC or something.
Yeah, you know, you could make any kind of losses in concessions if you really thought about it.
I concur. And we'll see what happens. This race has stuck around. A lot of us thought it would disappear, but it has not.
No. It's
well, they pay the bill.
It's a prestige thing for China to have them fall off because of attendance would be brutal. There was some question as to whether or not it would continue after the fiasco that came up with the promoters.
And greed. The usual stuff. That happens in a lot of these huge productions. You're always going to have
someone who's going, ooh, I can fatten my pocket.
Exactly.
Which is all fine and dandy until an auditor goes and goes, hey, you're fattening your pocket.
Yeah, but corruption is everywhere, especially places like China, Mexico, France. Believe it or not, Stephen.
The French?
Yeah. Sacré bleu. Nui and Nigel Mansell received honors from the Queen. Adrian Nui was awarded the Officer of the Order of the British Empire, Stephen.
Ooh.
Yep. For services to motorsports by Her Majesty Queen Elizabeth II. And this ceremony was held at Windsor Castle on Tuesday. Nui's Red Bull cars, of course, have won the constructors' title in the past 2 seasons, and everybody thinks they're wonderful. Nigel Mansell, who won the 1992 World Championship in the Nui designed Williams FW14B, was also in attendance. Mansell received the Commander of the Order of the British Empire from Her Majesty the Queen for services to children and young people in his role as president of Charity UK Youth. So I'm pretty pumped up. Anyway, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back after this brief message from Bassino.com.
Bonjour. Want to stay in a charming accommodation near the historic and famous Cognac and Bordeaux regions of southwestern France? Imagine yourself surrounded by the rolling hills and vineyards of the Charente region, sipping on cognac or the local aperitif Pinot de Charente. Opening in June 2012, Bassino offers traditional French country lodging in rustic stone cottages, fully equipped with modern comforts, suitable for families, travelers, or groups. Share a home-cooked meal with your host and soak in the ambiance and joie de vivre of the tranquil and rural French countryside. Bassino is only a 90-minute drive from the Bordeaux airport, or 30 minutes from the nearest train station in Angoulême. Navigate to bassano.com for information or to book a reservation now. That's BASSINAUD.com. Allons-y.
Welcome back to F1Weekly.com. Clark Rogers here, your host. And now, as we spin the globe and go around the world with Motorsports Mondial and the Duke, the man himself, your humble host, Clark Rogers. Greetings and racing regards. Yes. Okay, let's jump to it. Did you catch any of the Indy race and NASCAR, Stephen, this weekend?
No, I can't say that I did.
Really? How about them Giants, huh?
Watched a little bit of baseball, yeah.
Yeah, shocking. Absolutely shocking. Anyway, there was some shocking stuff in the World Rally Championship, also known as WRC. Mikko Hirvonen has been excluded from the Rally of Portugal victory following post-event scrutineering, Stephen. Handing the win to Adapta 4 driver Mads Østberg. Hirvonen's Citroën DS3 WRC was found to contravene technical regulations with non-conformity of the car's clutch. And the secondary problem was the factory Citroën team centered on the turbine wheel of number 2 DS3's turbocharger. Some pretty bizarre stuff, but you know, when they scrutinize in WRC, they really
obviously tear the motor apart.
That's got to be an interesting job. What have we here? Yeah. You know, calipers in hand, and it's got to be a lot of laughs. But in addition to giving Altsberg a maiden World Rally Championship win, which was great for him, Hirvonen's exclusion from the Faroe-based event elevates Evgeny Novikov to second and gives Petter Solberg a podium finish and ensures our Alsatian friend Sebastian Loeb retains his point lead in the championship. And, of course, this would be his ninth consecutive.
I'm glad that Petter Solberg's gotten back into the series and is actually having some success again.
Yeah, no, and he's a great guy, great driver, speaks to the press, he's nice, he actually has things to say. Unlike some people we know.
Yes.
But no, he's a good guy. I like him a lot. Let's go right to Indy. Of course, they were at Barber, our favorite test track for the wonderful American United States Formula One team.
Not.
Will Power, he saw a late challenge from Scott Dixon to take a superb win in Sunday's IndyCar race at Barber Motorsports Park in beautiful Alabama. Rubinho took a step forward in his adaptation to IndyCar by finishing 8th, which is pretty good. I think he was 17th a couple of weeks ago. And right at the end, he had a really good move.
Yeah, the Florida track is a really tough course to
St. Peter's,
take your first race on.
I agree. And Barber's, that's a nice track.
It's a nice track. I like that course a lot.
Yeah, but he did a great pass on Marco Andretti on the final laps.
At the beginning, I was struggling with this combination of things. I mean, first of all, for 19 years, I had tire warmers. In IndyCar, you don't have that. So when you go out, you do feel like you're running on ice. And the drivers, especially Tony, I mean, Tony Kanaan is a specialist on that. And he goes out at the beginning, you know, of my testing, he was almost 3 seconds quicker than I was on the outlap. Right now, I'm getting to his times, but he's still very good on it. Then I am running a car that doesn't have a power steering. You know, for 19 years again, I had that power steering. The steering wheel is heavy. Sometimes you have a situation where you feel the car pushing, but it's just really, really difficult to turn the car into the corner.
Now, there's some big news from Lotus-powered IndyCars. Of course, we know Lotus is now building engines for some Indy teams. Preparation for next month's Indy 500 have been dealt a big blow. The manufacturer will not have enough engines to participate in the test before Indianapolis 500.
Ow.
Which is huge. This test is coming up this Wednesday. The test is aimed at giving the teams, of course, and the engine manufacturers a head start, some testing, you know, figure out what's going on. I don't know. You would think that the race is once a year, Steve.
Yeah, you'd think they would have made sure that their production was... The only thing, what that tells me is that they're having manufacturing issues and probably are having problems casting blocks.
That's brutal.
And getting clean blocks to build up, because everything else in the motor is pretty easy.
Yeah, no, and the curing of the block is what is time consuming.
Yeah.
And no, you're right.
And also getting a clean cast. I watched a documentary once watching them do the sand castings of the Ferrari blocks, and that was just, whoa.
Yeah.
It was just crazy.
Let's go right to F3. Korea tire manufacturer Hankook will be the tire partner for the Formula 3 Euro Series this season, which I think is good.
Yeah, because it means that that's another tire manufacturer involved, somebody that can replace Pirelli in 2 or 3 years when they decide that they can't afford to be that one anymore.
This is a great step to get that development going. But Hankook is the official tire supplier for right now for DTM. After securing a deal from the start of last season, the Korean company, will supply its Ventus racing tires to the F3 Euro Series field starting in 2012. Let's go to MotoGP. Frontrunner Danny Pedrosa has been questioned by Spanish police, Stephen, after allegedly cheating on his exam. The 26-year-old was applying for a captain's yachting license, but it is believed that several students were rigged up with earpieces. I mean, what's happening to this world, Stephen?
That seems pretty odd. That's not the type of exam that you want to cheat on, because it's a good way to get yourself killed.
Exactly. Yachts, yachting license, captain.
Yeah, it's almost.
I think he's just going to be shouting orders as far as I'm concerned.
Exactly. And it comes down to, the problem is he's got to be able to shout the correct orders at the correct times.
That's true. Timing is everything in yachting.
Especially to make sure that you don't put it on a reef.
Yeah, apparently the exam was taking place at the Polytechnic University of Valencia, and the Repsol Honda rider was arrested, along with several other students. Apparently 21 people were caught in the dirty deed.
Is that a felony in Spain? Cheating on an exam? I would think that it would be just a fine, a slap on the wrist, and basically being told that you can't retake the test for the next X number of years.
Yeah, that's pretty standard. I don't think he's going to have to worry about it. He'll just hire a captain.
Yeah, exactly. What he just tell him where you want to go.
I think Alan Hale's available. Anyway, let's go right to our favorite.
Le NASCAR.
Ryan Newman, back at the top, claimed a surprise NASCAR Sprint Cup victory at Martinsville, one of your favorite places, Stephen, following mayhem in a green-white checkered finish, which I know you know.
Generally, green-white checkered means that there was mayhem involved.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, they have so many. Yeah, sometimes it's a yellow-green-white checker and then a black at the end to catch that last guy, they can legally tweet now and drive. So I don't
must know. Be voice recognition because I can't see something.
No. You can do that too, Steven.
Drive with his knees.
Yeah. So good for him. The Stewart Haas driver emerged as an unexpected winner, and it's been a while since Ryan Newman's been at the top, claiming the lead ahead of the final restart after a first attempt to finish the race under green ended with a multi-car incident ignited by contact with Michael Waltrip, Clint Bower, and the leading Hendrick Motorsports duo of Jeff Gordon.
Michael Waltrip was not in a car, Clark. That was,
By Michael Waltrip's racing Clint Bower.
Okay.
Excuse me. Yeah, Michael Waltrip, yeah. You know,
he was probably in the booth.
I'm close.
May have been involved. He was probably talking
it
in Bower's
ear. Good.
In Bower's ear.
And Jimmy Johnson. So there was mayhem, and you know what that adds up to? Caution.
Yep.
So
car parts all over the track.
Yeah. I'm sure it's exciting.
Kind of like college basketball. You only need to watch the last 15 minutes.
And unfortunately, I have no clue where Juan Pablo Jet Dryer Montoya.
I'm guessing somewhere in the 20s.
Yeah, probably. Let's go right to the British Touring Car Championship, also known as the BTCC. Rob Collard won the first British Touring Car race of the season at Brands Hatch on Sunday afternoon after a dramatic fight. Jason Plato took victory on the first weekends of MG's return to the British Touring Car Championship, which is great. I love MG's. I think they're cool. I had one for a while, but I got rid of it. So, and that was in the reverse grid race. So good for MG and good for BTCC. I think they're going to have an exciting season. Super V8 in Down Under. Mark Winterbottom continued his winning streak in the V8 Supercars non-championship outing, Stephen, at Melbourne by taking the victory in their chaotic race. The race was marred by the opening lap carnage over there. Caution over here. Yeah. Carnage over there, which involved five cars and brought about a lengthy safety car, which also served to reduce the race to a seven-lap sprint. So, that's it. Pretty exciting. You got anything to add to the Motorsports Mondial, Steve?
Not this week.
Not this week? Excellent. No, there's some good stuff coming up. I'm going to keep an eye on Rubens Barrichello, see how he adapts. Finished eighth. I thought that was pretty exciting. Tony Kanaan is still faster than him, but he's used to the cold tires on the get-go.
Yeah, I don't think it's so much the cold tires as just getting used to the way the car handles. Driving without power steering has got to be something that is really a challenge for him, because it's, you know, it's not that smooth, easy turn. It's like, fight it over.
You're right. No, it's got to be brutal anyway. So there you have it. We'll probably be getting some emails from Nasser, and we'll try to keep everybody updated on what he's doing in the UK. Quickly, let's wrap it up. The 2012 Motorsports Memories calendar is still available on our merchandise page. Just click on it. You know you want to. I want to mention our Facebook, Twitter, Google Plus, and MySpace sites. Just do a search for F1 Weekly and add us as a friend. If you'd like to advertise or cross-promote with our website or podcast, just email me at info@F1Weekly.com. I want to thank everybody who listens. Good night.
Good night.